Good morning. Welcome to Everyday Money Matters, your financial advisory program. It's a wonderful day to be alive. This is Lagos Talks 91.3. But do be reminded, Everyday Money Matters is a financial literacy program, and as such, answers to questions should not be considered as financial advice, but merely opinions of our guests. Kindly consult your financial advisor for your personal, business, financial-related issues. Now that that's out of the way, if you're interested in ways on how to make money, build money, grow money, keep money, then you're in the right place. All right, so Everyday Money Matters, if you have questions for the money people, do call any of these numbers live, 0809-191-3913 and 0809-222-0913. Also try 0809-234-5913 or any of these landline numbers. There's 236-7913, 280-2913, and of course 280-3913. Right, we got the money people in the building. What's going on? What's going on?
Yeah, Lagos.
Hey, what's happening now?
Can I take a picture of you and just put on?
Can we not do this morning? Huh? Can we just stick to
it? So Lagos, Sadi came to work today looking like he has an Owambe.
Yeah, or a wedding. Slash the launch.
I have this feeling like immediately after his morning belt, he's just going to go and eat.
Yes, I brought my rechargeable native. And I'm going to use it to acquire some free food. How about that?
How have you been, man?
Yeah, not bad at all. Welcome. Yes, hey, in fact, you, I want you guys to introduce yourself today. Since I ruin your name regularly, I've decided to allow you to do it yourself. So yes, we have on, or should I say, in the left corner.
Okay, it's Oluwatosin Olasende of Money Africa.
Olasende. Did I get it?
Yes, you got it.
Thank
yes.
God. Hallelujah. But I'll have to do it after you do it just for good measure. All right. And we also have... yes. Do it. Say it.
We don't need instruction.
Do we? As the advert says. Right. Welcome. It is Everyday Money Matters. Let us jump straight in. Don't forget, if you have any questions, do call in. You can also send your questions via Twitter at LagosTalks913. Don't forget to add Narrametrics. Use the hashtag EMM. Right so here. Yes.
Before you go, there was this data from the National Bureau of Statistics that we got, I think during the week.
Yeah.
And it says that there are about 2.3 million Nigerians who are indebted to banks.
Oh, wow.
Are you one of them?
No, definitely not. I used to be. I confess. It was huge. Oh, so but we have settled. We are now free.
Do you know that? You know, in a way, those are actually people that you can consider rich.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
and it's amazing how
for them to give you a loan, that means that you've got a steady income.
Yes, and they know that you have the possibility.
So 2.3 million Nigerians out of about 200 million Nigerians actually owe banks. Like, isn't that a really small number?
Or you think it should be more?
Yeah, it should be more. Yeah, actually,
sure, really.
It's critical to access to capital is critical to growing an economy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it means that, think about it, you have people who want to build homes, people who want to own cars, so credit basically drives, it's not like I'm saying you should go and mass on debt, but credit basically drives economy, right?
So,
you have just 2.3 million customers who actually owe banks, right? According to data, over 2 million of those customers actually owe less than a millionaire.
Oh,
on average, maybe about 55.
Okay, so that's kind of small.
Yeah, so
okay,
like about 100 and something or so. Well, I think so slightly over 1,000 or so. Owe like.
So is that why there's such an emphasis in the abroad with credits, your credit ratings and all that?
Exactly. I mean, I think about it.
Good.
Everything from your student loan to your first car to your rent to your mortgage. Mm. I mean, like credit is basically the lifeblood.
Yeah.
In fact, the economic crisis of 2008 was because of subprime mortgage.
True.
When you have problems in the West is when you have maybe like a credit bust.
Mm-hmm.
So because the economy is basically intertwined with credit. So unlike here where we're just starting basically. So it just shows that we haven't even scratched the surface at all.
We haven't.
Yep. Basically the more people who are owing banks, the better for the economy.
A lot of people come to Money Africa's personal finance class and they ask me, Tosin, Should I take loans? And also, I think also culture comes into play.
Uh-huh.
People have negative perceptions towards loans.
Very true.
You know, I think there's somewhere in the Bible that says, oh, do not, maybe the poor takes. Yeah, there's somewhere in the Bible. So they quote those scriptures and they're like, oh, no, take a loan. Are you kidding me? Rich people use other people's money to make money.
Yes.
If someone is giving you access to capital and you can actually invest it in something that's going to give you a higher return, take it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So I should go and take out a loan, right?
No, there's a criteria to taking a loan, though.
Okay.
I mean, it's not to marry a second wife or to just floss.
Of course not. You know that we're starting a, you know.
It's just like a regular house loan. Like when I tell people, if you want to get a house loan, make sure that your repayment, right? The loan repayment and the interest is not more than 25% of your take home.
So
if it's more than 25% of your take home, then
problem.
Problem day.
Sure.
You got a problem.
Right. Let's answer this question from Uchena. And Uchena is asking, I need advice on how to access a mortgage loan. I'm eligible for the NHF because I work, but I don't know how to access it easily. Yes, there are
That's
many people waiting.
Man.
Yes, exactly. No. I know, right?
I feel like it was waited for you.
No, but that's a very, very good question, because I'm actually interested in this myself. Yes. So please spit on. I have my notepad ready. Let's go.
So to get a mortgage loan in Nigeria, one, you got to be an employee.
Okay.
You got to have a steady job, steady income.
Check.
You can get a cheaper rate if you contribute to the National Housing Fund, NHF. But if you don't,
But what contributes as in that? Is that from
the way you have deductions from your salary for pensions.
Oh.
You can also have deductions for NHF, but it's not mandatory. So
okay, so most people don't really.
Yeah, most people don't do it, but they actually disburse and when they do disburse, it's difficult to get disbursement though. But when they do disburse, you can get as cheap as 9% interest rates. Yeah, that cheap. So for that cheap. I'm seriously that cheap. So that's if you contribute to NHF. I think you probably need to contribute for about 2 years or 3 years or so to be eligible.
To be eligible for that. Okay.
Now, if you don't have that, another option you can use is through cooperatives.
Mm.
Right. Yeah. So most organizations, especially very well structured ones, have cooperatives.
Oh.
And yeah. So you can go through your cooperative. Of course, you must have been contributing for a while as well.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For some years, and then you can access a cooperative loan. To get a mortgage.
Yeah.
Now, and the third one, of course, is through a bank or through a primary mortgage institution.
Uh-huh.
So you go through them, and then you apply for a loan. Usually they expect that you pay like 20% equity. Yeah, sometimes 30, sometimes 40.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to pay down equity. Yeah, that kind of ties you down into the property, right? Ties you down. You can't, even abroad, it's not even zero. So you got to pay down.
Yeah, obviously you would pay a certain amount
as equity. So when you pay that down, you don't get access to the primary mortgage loan. Sometimes people kind of mix things up. You can get mortgage and you can get your cooperative and put all that money together. So you kind of like blend the interest, because for your cooperative, the interest rate is usually very low compared to maybe if you're going to get a loan from a bank, mortgage loan and all that. So, you know, blend it in and maybe you're getting about 14% or so interest rate, and then you can buy a house.
Okay.
But it's not as easy as they did out, but that's typically the process. So every single thing I've said here takes a lot of hard work.
It's a lot of work. Yeah, so each process.
There's got to be a developer that's probably developing, maybe, you know, selling units. And you see all the adverts.
So
there's got to be one.
Mm-hmm.
And then ask them how much, apply, negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes the developers can hook you up to a PMI, that's a primary mortgage institution
who
can arrange a loan for you. So the PMI would assess you, check if you actually have the income that
required to pay back.
So the PMI, you know, big banks on a bank, and then if you're qualified, they give you the loan, and then you can go ahead
and then pay the developer almost like a rent.
It's like a
rent to own type thing. Oh wow! So it seems easy, but it's not.
It's
not
rent to own. Rent to own. You probably don't need to put any equity.
Anything.
Rent to own is that they just spread the entire thing for you over some
period
years,
of time
and you keep paying. If you pay fully, then they give you the house. If you don't pay fully, then they just accept that it's rent.
Oh,
Yeah, once you just, once you default, well, okay.
It's right, bye-bye.
Another thing to look out for when you want to take a mortgage as well is the cost of the capital. So whenever you're going negotiating with the banks, you can just ask for some, because I knew that I was in those very same shoes about a year ago.
Right.
And some other bank can just offer you a lower interest rate than another one. So shop around to see who's giving you the best rate.
Interesting. Wow,
the only problem is that practically, what usually happens and which you might want to try to avoid is that when you are looking for a mortgage loan, you're usually under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? So a lot of times that pressure makes you just want to grab any loan that you see. Sure. Yeah, so what some guys do is that, look, man, just give me the money first.
Yeah.
And 30%, you put 30%. It's okay. Just give me it.
The funniest part is that because this is a long term, that's supposedly 1% that looks little. But because it's 1% of the capital over a duration of 20 years or 10 years, it actually comes true. You see that it makes an impact.
Wow.
So
it's a lot. So what do you do when you get that money then? So smart guys end up now refinancing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe you got a loan at 30% and you just wanted to pay, right? So you got a loan 30% and you pay, and then you now start to shop other banks.
Oh.
And then see if you can refinance that loan.
Okay.
So another bank will just buy off that loan.
Buy off the loan from you, better interest rates.
Yeah. Or you fast track payment. Maybe if you get bonuses at work, you probably deprive yourself of some holiday.
Gary for like,
you know, all those kind of things.
Just
fast track payment so they can reduce the capital. A whole lot of stuff. So like, that's what a lot of people do, really. So a lot of people who actually own homes, most of them actually pay mortgage.
Yeah. You know, and I'm actually very happy that we're having this conversation.
Yeah, it's very important.
No disrespect. I mean, you see a person, they've been working for so many years, they're hitting 40 and they still don't have any property to call theirs.
It's very, very, very,
I'm very happy we're having this conversation.
Absolutely.
If you actually do have the access to get mortgage, you know, it's a fair option to look at. And also, what is your opportunity cost? Your opportunity cost is you paying rent.
Yeah, exactly.
So your real cost really is the cost of servicing that loan minus the rent you would have been paying.
So it's a wise thing to do.
Yeah.
Although difficult, something we should all start to work on. I'm definitely getting into that. Right, another question here this morning says, please, how can one start if it is a business or an... Okay, that's not the end of the question. That's not even the beginning. Right, let me go for another one. This is from Charles. Charles is saying, are there any structured investment that one can make and grow capital above mutual funds rates?
Structured investment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I want to assume that when you're talking about structure, you're saying that this is going to be passive. That is, a company is managing this business on your behalf, and it's going to be passive. If that is the question, yes. So we have the agricultural technology called AgriTech.
Okay,
it's a new buzzword now. I mean, if you look around, there are quite a number of players there.
Yeah,
it's a company. It's structured. They crowdfund for money from several people to invest in the agricultural sector, and then the leverage and technology to do this. So yes, their returns are actually higher than that of mutual fund, and it is also higher than that of your treasury bills and your government bonds. But now the question I mean, as any investor, there are two things you're always looking out for. She has addressed returns, but has she addressed risk? So how has the risk been covered?
Mm-hmm.
Agricultural technology companies are actually insured, and you need to check for insurance. You know what I do? Considering I had an auditor's experience, I literally always call the insurance company that they say has covered them to evaluate if this is true or not. So once the company is insured, you know that the only thing you stand to risk is your interest, but in actual fact, your capital is secured. So yes, there are structured companies that do offer higher interest rate than mutual fund, and agricultural technology is one of those companies.
All right, nice, sweet. This is a behemoth of a question. From Oluwole.
Let me chip in there. So structured investments. I don't know whether you're referring only to maybe money market or capital market investments.
Mm-hmm.
Real estate is also a structured investment.
Sure.
There are also some real estate investment trusts out there. The problem really with investing in Nigeria is the kind of return, the risk versus return that you get.
Okay.
So for a lot of folks, people who are looking for very, very aggressive returns, the risk is just Too high. Mm-hmm. There's also peer-to-peer lending kind of businesses as well.
Do we have that here? We do.
Yeah, we do. I mean, I've interviewed a few guys who do peer-to-peer lending, and so you basically access some of these guys, maybe like push cash over to them, and then they now on lend to other people. Mm-hmm. You can get interest rates as much as 5-6% per month. Mm. So I mean, but there's underlying risk of you not being able to get your cash back in some of these kind of investments. And it's part of that, you know, is it structured? Yeah, it's structured, but it has its own risk.
Yeah.
Of course, you can also, you know, do your own portfolio investing on your own, like, right? Maybe try to mirror somebody else's investments. That's beginning to catch on gradually. So there are people who are very good at investing, and they are willing to share some of what
just
they do.
Mirror
their portfolio. Probably pay them a fixed amount or something. Yeah,
okay,
mirror their
portfolio,
and so you don't have to stress yourself too much. And then whatever it is they buy. I mean, like a lot of people who mirror, say, Warren Buffett's portfolio, for example.
They're killing it.
I just find that's mirroring the guy's portfolio,
and it works.
Yeah,
because he's making his money.
If you were to mirror anyone, who would you mirror?
Yeah. Where, like, worldwide?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, so if I was going to do fundamental investing, it'd probably be someone like Warren Buffett. I like his investment style. If it's going to be, if I'm going to be short selling, I've forgotten this guy's name. This is a guy in the US. I like the way he does his own, when he's short selling stock. He puts a lot of research in it. Can't remember his name now.
Mm, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So someone like that, I'll probably mirror the kind of stocks that he shorts.
Yeah.
So imagine, like, someone like me, I definitely would short Rentable.
Because
I knew that.
Really?
I knew the company would fail.
The company will fail? What do you mean? Look, there are booths waiting outside as we speak.
I think
you mirror.
I like, it's not a person, it's a company.
Okay.
I love Naspers. Naspers are the owners of DSTV.
Oh,
and
okay.
They always make boss moves. I mean, this guy's own 33% of Tencent. That's like the highest market, the highest most capitalized company in China. So
wow.
Yeah, they always make they make sound investment decisions.
Nice, nice, very nice. I will just mirror on the wall. Because I'm not investing at the moment, sadly. Right. This is from David. And David says, good morning. I'm really having issues. I'm working as a driver and earn 40K as a salary. So I'm actually thinking what to invest with 10K monthly.
Number one, Ugodre is going for this. But can I commend this man?
Is
actually planning to invest 25%
of his
income, yeah, although is a low income earner.
Yes.
Okay, Ugodre,
it doesn't. Yes, you don't like low income. I know anything that is like.
I don't know why. I think this a dick. Is just out there to defame me, Lewis.
Hey, you know what?
Unfair.
Next week, we're doing Instagram live so that they can see your expressions.
What we basically espouse, like, we tell you, like, invest no matter how much you earn.
You should give, yes.
Even if I
said 40K,
invest.
Your face was squeezing. If I said 40 million now, you'd be like, hey, yes. So this is what I said 40K, you're like, eh.
You're squeezing. Everybody had eyes.
I was wondering that. Are you looking at something on my chest? What's going on?
Look. Like, I think it's incredible that you're thinking of investing 25% of your income.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know,
it's not earning,
kind of, might think it's not that much,
mm-hmm,
right? Like, I mean,
mm-hmm,
like less than $50. But it's very good that you're doing that. So if you have 10K and you're looking for what to invest in, treasury bills is out of the window now. You can't do treasury bills. I think that you might want to go for, it depends on how old you are, you might want to go for a little bit of high risk investments. But you have to really, you can't go in passive with that kind of money.
Okay.
So you have to go in really, really active, because you're going in so that you can aggressively turn that money around.
Okay.
So you're pushing in 10K, you're hoping that within 2 months it's going to 20K. You
okay.
might lose
okay.
a bit here and there,
yeah,
but you're aggressively trying to grow that,
oh, wow,
grow that cash. Yeah. So personally,
and with the work that he's doing, do you think he can push that though?
He can. I mean, your driver, you're earning. So the 40K is going to come steady.
Yes.
So I'm believing that there's not a lot of responsibilities, but you're probably only taking care of yourself.
Okay.
So you can work on a very shoestring budget.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So that 10K is probably just, you're hoping that when you put this 10K in 2 months' time, it's probably going to be 15 or 20K,
mm-hmm,
you know, and then you go on and on and on like that.
Hmm.
So, and then at the end of the year, you can probably be sitting on like 500K anyway. Do you understand? If you continue that way. So probably look at going into stocks, going into forex trading, going into agri-tech, things like that, that, you know, you can put in money short term, 2-3 months, flip it, and then start to grow your returns. You probably want to take in some losses at some point in time, but that's why it's important for you to be very active when you invest. You can't buy land with it, can you? No. You can't put it in. If you put it in a mutual fund, it's not going to won't give you the kind of return that you want. But
maybe in Zimbabwe.
But it's not going to give you the kind of aggressive return
that you need,
that I think you should be going for, right? So if you're going to do this, you probably might have to do it on your own, but you have to really study. You have to understand markets. You have to understand equities. You have to understand fixed income trading and things like that.
Wow.
Especially high-speed trading. Once you're good at that, you're good to go.
Another thing I'd like to add is that I know people like send me messages on Money Africa like, oh, Tosin, I only earn 40,000 and I want to invest. I'm like, fantastic. I'm happy that you're investing. But another thing I'm going to be very honest with you is that you need to grow that income. Because if you're living in Lagos with 40,000 naira a month,
it's
your
so tough.
Standard of living and all of that. So we have to have this honest conversation is how do I actually grow that income? So what are we doing about getting other jobs?
Are
we building skills? So in as much as I also feel that, yes, you should be investing and all of that, another good thing would be also sitting on the internet and learning new skills and then monetizing those skills, because you need to move from that income bracket of 40,000 naira.
Yep.
These are some of the honest conversations we need to start having.
Nice.
And Nigeria is not your only market. You can actually look for how to build skills to get jobs online.
Absolutely. And that is very, very, very true.
Yeah, and very key. You know, a lot of us don't understand that. So investing can also be investing in yourself,
true,
investing in people.
True, absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Think about it. I mean, like you're basically the best investment out there.
Okay.
Yeah, you are. You're the best investment out there. So think about it. I mean, like, if you people who have invested in maybe a Jay-Z or a Warren Buffett back in the days, or
right
even
now
we'll Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, okay,
you just invest in the person, that's all, right? Yeah. So you can invest in yourself, you know, by acquiring new skill, like I said, he has to basically learn how to invest, how to trade and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's basically investing in yourself. And then when you do that, there's a real likelihood that your income will definitely increase. Yeah.
Interesting. I do apologize. I know it seems like I've actually been ignoring the phone lines. I haven't. All right, let's go there. See, it's happened again. Anyways, funny enough, talking about growing
income.
Yeah, one's income. This is in here on Twitter. It says, good morning, I'm Ruth. What kind of side hustle can I do to get busy? I'm just at home doing nothing. I want to do business.
Okay, so number one, what are the skills that are in demand? Those are the kind of things we need to be looking out for.
Okay.
And once you've addressed that, then two, what are my strengths also leaning towards?
Mm-hmm.
So it's absolutely, gosh, the internet is so powerful. I know that we all say this thing, it sounds like a nice cute catchphrase,
but it's true.
But guess what? People are living in Lagos and they're working for someone maybe in India or
true,
in the US.
True,
you actually
China.
Need to build the skills.
Yeah.
So there are lots of online platforms out there that actually offer freelancer jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But you actually need to build those skills. So you can learn Excel skills, learn all these other kind of skills, look for how you can partner with, let's say for instance, it could be small businesses, how you can do stock take and all of that. It's going to be deliberate, but it is absolutely possible. So you need to get on your back and start looking for how to do that.
And there are so many things to do online.
You know, the funny thing is that this on EMM, this year is basically the year of side hustle.
Yes!
Was it the study? Remember?
Yes!
Like earlier in the year, we basically ran a whole session on side hustles and put out a list of things that you can actually do and how much you can make. I think you might want to check my metrics website for a list of side hustles you can do. I'm basically seeing it here. There's, I think we had like this blogging.
Oh, yeah.
Like
vlogging.
Online tutoring.
Yep.
Lesson teacher.
Yep.
Yes.
You can even go to social media.
Yep.
Strategist or analyst.
Fact. One of the loveliest ones.
You can
ever
even write an ebook. I mean, like, there's just so many things. Affiliate market. Jeez.
And even a couple of things you can
stuff.
Do.
And just right there.
Mm-hmm.
It, with your mobile phone.
Yes. Like,
but you got to also determine the kind of skill you have. What kind of skill do you have and what exactly is out there and what are people looking for, right? But it's just a whole lot that you can do.
And even offline as well. I mean, one of the ones that I sort of noticed happening even here in this organization is that people asking other people to do grocery shopping while they're at work.
You see? Yeah.
That's something that I've noticed here, and that can be a side hustle. You know, you can do that.
That's what I said. There's a whole lot of stuff. I mean, like, it's basically infinite.
Yeah, because she's literally selling her time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Wonderful. So let me see your name before I forget. So Kate Anosike, I hope that's really helped out. But don't forget, go to Naira Metrics, yeah? And you can get a full list of things you can do. And there are lots of resources online as well. In fact, if you go on WhatsApp today, I'll be able to share with you at least 113 different ways to make money online, offline, with skills or without skills. But hey, let's go to the phone lines. Hello. Hello.
It's your red hat.
I don't know what's going on.
It's jinxing the calls.
I don't know what's going on. Maybe I should. Okay, I'm not taking it off. Right. Let's go.
Well, there's a side hustle that I have like that.
Yeah.
Like somebody that we pay at Naira Metrics.
Uh-huh.
And she's got a full-time job at the bank. But her side hustle for us is she does a lot of our editing.
Oh, wow.
See, and that's actually on the list as well. Proofreading, writing a CV.
So in the evenings, once she's back from work, for a lot of stories that will go on the next day.
Wow.
It's just cute for her. She just does her proofreading.
Aww.
And that's what she read in school. But she's in the bank doing something different.
So like she's using harnessing her skills.
So there's just a lot out there. You gotta
I'm really just happy now that thanks to information out there, people can actually be living their best life. Like that story from Naira Metrics makes me so happy. Like she's doing this banking job and then she's still living her best life.
Exactly,
editing, doing
combination. So
loves.
You don't necessarily have to even jump out of the 9 to 5. You can still balance depending on the skills that you have. Absolutely brilliant. Hello. You know what? I'll just give up on that.
I think it's since Charles came in. That's
I think it's. In fact, yes, let's blame it on Charles. That's that. Thank you, Ugo. I knew it. I knew there was something going on. Don't give me that look. Don't give me that look. It's you. Exactly. Can't blame me. Okay, let me try one last time. Hello? Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Everyday Money Matters. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Victor Sadiq.
Victor, how are you doing this morning?
I'm fine.
Right, so okay, you have a question for the money.
I just want to ask a straight question.
Yeah.
Forgive me if I didn't know till now. Treasury bills, what's the minimum amount required for investment?
100,000 naira.
Well, according to Ugo Dre, it might be different. But yes, let's enough. Let's hear him.
Okay, so officially, right? Officially, according to the CBN, if you're going to invest in treasury bills, you need about 50 million.
50 million.
Officially is 100,000.
No. It's 50 million
from the central bank.
From the central bank, from the primary market. Mm. But banks also offer pooling, so you can, if you have 100k or even less, you can go to your bank. Just tell them you want to buy treasury bills. They would always be sell to you.
Okay.
And there are a few apps out there that you can buy treasury bills through as well, right?
Yeah.
With any amount, really.
Really? With any amount?
Yeah.
Any amount?
Like online trading it,
Yes, online. You know what? Maybe just hit me on social media at Naira Metrics or at Ugo Dre. I'll tell you how you can go about it like in like 5 steps.
Nice.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll hit you up as well.
excuse me. Can you come back? WhatsApp on this line or what did you call it?
On Twitter at Ugo Dre. If you're on Twitter, if you're not there, then maybe on Facebook at Naira Metrics on Facebook.
Naira Metrics
on Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah.
On Facebook, somebody would definitely attend to you. All right. No.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks,
fabulous. Right. That is all we have time for this week. Again, thank you. It's been very, very helpful.
EMM is a personal finance show about money, which aims at discussing and finding common solutions to issues and questions around spending, saving, and any financial issue. Join the conversation today as we discuss issues that bother on consumer spending and savings on the show, Everyday Money Matters, with your host, Ugo Dre Obichukwu. You don't want to miss this. Every Wednesday from 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. on Lagos Talks 91.5.